This morning's scripture reading comes from the second chapter of Matthew. We'll read the first 12 verses, Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the territory of Judea during the rule of King Herod, Magi came from the east to Jerusalem. They asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We've seen his star in the east, and we've come to honor him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and everyone in Jerusalem was troubled with him. He gathered all of the chief priests and the legal experts and asked them where the Christ was to be born. They said, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what the prophet wrote. You, Bethlehem, land of Judah, by no means are the least among the rulers of Judah, because from you will come one who governs, who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and found out from them the time when the star had appeared. He sent them to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search carefully for the child. When you found him, report to me so that I may too go and honor him." When they heard the king, they went. And look, the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stood over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. Falling to their knees, they honored him. Then they opened their treasure chests and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Because they were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back to their own country by another way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Think about the Magi. We don't know too much about them. They were from the east, or as Thomas More likes to say, the land of the rising sun. They are figures of intrigue, making their way into Christian art long before the lowly shepherds, even though Scripture depicts their arrival a couple of years after the babe had been laid in the manger. Was it their perceived social standing that catapulted them onto the canvas in Christmas cards? Was it the lure of their crowns and jeweled garments in which they are usually depicted? Do we find their camels somehow more photogenic than the sheep and the cows gathered around the manger? Whatever it was, they captivate a great deal of attention. Who were they, and why did they undertake such a journey? Theologians find clues in the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh that they presented to the Christ child, symbols foreshadowing of the divine child's purpose. Or maybe they could find a place in history because of their presence being a nod to the inclusion of Gentiles in the birth of the King of the Jews. The poets T.S. Eliot and others have used the power of words to help us imagine the arduous journey that brought the Magi face to face with the Christ child. A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of the year for a journey, and such a long journey. The ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter, and the camels galled, sore-footed, refractory, lying down in the melting snow. Being little of a theologian or a poet, my image of the Magi digresses just a bit. I will never identify with their wealth or their wisdom, and a couple of laps around on the back of a camel around the petting zoo at the Nativity of Our Lady of the Snow Shrine was more than enough time on a camel for me. Let me introduce you to the Magi as I imagine them. These guys probably drove their wives crazy. Not only were they reluctant to stop and ask for directions, they seemed to impulsively take to the open road without much of an itinerary. Just drop everything and pursue one kind of irrational adventure after another. They were the kind of guys who would lose track of how long it had been since they last saw anything familiar. Never mind how long it had been since anybody back home had heard from them. The open road was before them. They didn't have time for such details. What were they thinking? Or were they thinking at all? What would it take to set out on an adventure like they did? What would it take to get you to ride along with the Magi? This much is sure. There is adventure out there, but whether or not we are up to it is a whole nother question. What would it take to look at something everybody else saw as foreboding and see adventure? What would it take to look at what others thought to be foolish and see in it your beckoning call? While others shook their heads in doubts, what kind of courage would it take to saddle them up and ride them out? To leave your contemplations for brighter visions beaming afar? Seems to me the profile of the Magi had to do, at least in part, be built around curiosity, imagination, and a childlike passion for adventure. Is that even compatible with the stereotypical wisdom associated with the Magi? Maybe a better question would be, are those traits actually essential to wisdom? Are they demanded and required to go anywhere? We've already admitted that the wealth and the wisdom of the Magi may be beyond us, but what about their sense of adventure? Do we still possess the heart and eyes of a child? Are our journeys of faith determined by enthusiasm and the excitement of expectation? Maybe our imaginations need to grow 3 sizes. Our imagination of God's goodness tend to be inhibited by what we have seen, narrowed by our worries, constrained by our hopelessness. Without imagination for what lies beyond what we have seen and heard, our contemplations tend to become sentimental at best, perhaps encouraging preservation, but seldom sparking the imagination to get us up and get us going. There comes a time when our faith journey calls us to leave our contemplations for brighter visions that beam afar. Rather than focusing on the treasures that the Magi offered the Christ child, let's consider how valuable it might be to have just a share of their sense of adventure and imagination. How might we nurture those traits in ourselves? In a recent article, Eric Burrito suggests that we think of Scripture as a vital source of imagination about who God has been, who God is today, and who God promises to be in the future. Left to our own devices or contemplations, we are prone to see death and scarcity and lack around every corner. In Scripture, we can learn anew about God's ordinary yet surprising, life-giving, and disruptive activity among our predecessors in faith, that same activity that continues to work among us today. Isn't that exactly what the Magi got for the efforts of their imagination? What's more ordinary than the birth of a child? Yet what is more surprising, life-giving, and disruptive than the birth and the life of the child they journeyed to find? Might we be better served, more inspired, if we were to approach Holy Scripture with the same sense of adventure and the same sense of curiosity with which the Magi journeyed toward Bethlehem? Who knows what lies in there? God has yet more light to break forth from God's holy word. And that is what Epiphany is all about, finding more light, not only in Scripture, but in the light breaking forth around us wherever our journeys may take us. Eric Burrito reminds us, after all, his disciples did not just proclaim how Jesus had moved in their midst. They came to know afresh and anew many ways that God, Jesus, and the Spirit alike had moved far ahead of them in ways that they did not anticipate. But it turns out God had promised while they remained unaware. The work of witnessing to God's goodness is always and inevitably the work of catching up to the relentless Spirit. Catching up to the relentless Spirit. If that doesn't sound like adventure, I don't know what adventure is. I don't know what you have going on this coming year. I hope it's exciting and all, but I bet the Spirit has bigger things going on, bigger than any of us can begin to imagine. The Magi are calling us to discover the treasures of imagination that enable us to see the world through the eyes of a child, to saddle up and ride out with them in excited anticipation of what lies out there for us on this wild and amazing journey. But they would warn us, the poets weren't completely wrong. It well could be a long journey, the ways deep and the weather sharp. It might not be easy. People might think us foolish. But when once we might have caught up to that relentless spirit, bemoaning hardships turns into joyous tales of epiphany. With the hearts of children, we sing and dance in delight. Such journeys take curiosity, imagination, and a childlike passion for adventure. But make no mistake about it, daring to venture out is not for the foolish. To act on such passions is not to respond to a thoughtless whim. Journeys like these demand trust in the boundless grace of God. Scripture teaches us that God's grace is always wider, always brighter and greater, and more expansive than we previously had imagined. God is continually teaching us to expect that however widely we understand God's grace to be today, it will be wider tomorrow. Epiphany calls us to be always primed for God's perpetual surprise. A surprise not because God's promises have changed, but because we are always catching up to God's Spirit's leading, always lagging in our understanding of God's promises. So yes, add faith in God's boundless grace to your camel saddlebags. You're going to need it. And while you're at it, your patience might need to grow three sizes along with your imagination. Remember all those cold, dark nights that found the Magi plodding ever onward by the twinkling of a distant star that led them to brighter visions beaming afar. We rarely get to see where the fruits of our work. Instead, we have to trust that the work we do will flourish in ways that we may not see or even imagine. All of those times when our weary and fearful minds realize we still haven't reached our destination yet, we must realize that we get ever closer to it with each plodding step. Through the eyes of a child, every step of the journey is seen to be ablaze with the boundless grace of God. And we find ourselves dancing in delight all of the journey, knowing still brighter visions beam afar. Amen.